welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it is now or never.
And so let me throw that out there. How long do you think I can get away with actually telling you it's now or never? Well, when we get to a point where the states have either decided to place caution to the wind and attack by opening up the Constitution for amending it as the solution, then I think we're at that point where there's really no return. But I don't think we're going to get there. And I say that because, as you know, Wisconsin and Nebraska this past week actually... and this is my message to everybody who is anti-convention of states that is the position of no. If you're not providing the states the only alternative, which is interposition, the states must interpose. Anybody that understands, one, the Constitution in context, the intent of the Article 5 process. The Article 5 process is to change the Constitution. When you open up a constitutional convention, it's this simple. And oh, by the way, this was what the constitutional minutes was about this past weekend, was about the fact of how these two states have decided to take a dangerous direction, because there has not been a time where there's ever been a need for a convention. All there needs to be is an articulated solution. Every time the states have come, even with bad solutions, they actually have gained traction, like prohibition, such as the 16th and 17th Amendment. They were able to pass bad solutions. So what makes you think that you're going to be able to control? So here, folks, the number one problem that every constitutional legislator that I have talked to in the darkest of red states will tell you is not the Republican, I should say, well, actually, it is the Republican Party. It is the rhinos. There are so many rhinos in the states that we have to clean the states up. The fact is that with this organization, the Convention of States organization, Mark Meckler and company, and his partners in crime, because if they had a solution, they are not even interested in a solution, but if they had a solution, then why don't they postulate it, such as term limits? Now, their number one driver for the Convention of States is compliance, that the federal government is so far out of reach of the Constitution that we need a constitutional convention. Well, okay, and they say all we want to do is amend it. Okay, give me the amendment. This is how you know they're lying. They don't have an amendment that can demand full compliance. There's no pretty please words that you can put in some legal mumbo jumbo, because I think most of you understand that in the vernacular of the, I'll even say of the Cretans. I mean, I think the lowest of low people understand what mumbo jumbo is, and they can't even put together, they can't even articulate one amendment that actually would solve the problems. They're not interested in solving the problem. And so this goes back to some conversations I have had with directors from the Convention of States. In other words, state directors, not little penny-ante, you know, activists that are throwing money into this and seeing that here's an opportunity that I can, you know, make a mark. I can move up into this and maybe I'd be a delegate. Folks, there is no quick path to fame when it comes to the history of this constitutional republic. Madison didn't become the superstar that he was because he just was an opportunist in hitching his, you know, his horse to a wagon, or hitching onto a wagon that was going in the direction that he thought would propel him into this notoriety or into this fame, actually. I understand notoriety is bad. But anyhow, The point in fact is that Madison studied. He was absolutely and capable and competently capable of putting everything in their place. The reason he was respected is because of his academic knowledge. I challenge anybody to go through the ratification debates, even the Federalist Papers, and other debates where Madison has got up. He is known as the most prepared man in the room when it came to debates. People saw him, and they always saw that he would take books up with him when he was going to address them on a very particular, you know, subject or what have you. And he would cite Montesquieu. He would cite, you know, ancient books, Cicero, and so forth. And so when you look at trying to get involved with the Convention of States, you have to understand the underlying, I'll just say, the underlying motivation for these people. It has nothing to do with trying to save the government. They're not. If they were that smart that they had a solution, it would be right in front of you. It would be like Republic Review is in front of you today. You know, it takes some really big cojones, excuse the expression, it takes really big cojones to tell you that this is irrefutable. Republic Review is the only process. Let anybody tell you that it's not, because I can get Madison and Jefferson to tell you that it is. Because that's exactly what these men were doing. It was interposition. Republic Review is just another way of saying state interposition. And what's interesting is I had a very interesting conversation regarding the Convention of States, and it's created some dialogue with me and some good John Birchers who, you know, aren't out there trying to disparage me. And they're going, you know what, I think you're right. Fact of the matter is that the Convention of States is going to gain more ground. The reason they're going to gain more ground is because this is an indictment in how bad these legislators are in understanding the Constitution. Their constitutional illiteracy, they're allowing a lobbyist for his own self-benefit and all the money that's being poured into that organization, they're allowing these lobbyists to actually give them the ticket, because who's going to take this over? They're saying, oh, no, you, the states, are going to take it over. I'm telling you, they're going to pull all of these people in from the Convention of States. Well, these are the people that, you know, that drove this forward. At least that's what the Convention of States thinks. And I'm here to tell you that the rhinos and all of the progressives are actually going to believe that putting their people in will be more important. This is how they're going to be undermined. They're being played. And I don't know, technically, I don't know if they're really being played, folks. I don't know if they realize what they're doing and that they're being played, or if they're complicit in this whole scenario. Are they that stupid? I don't know. But I am here to tell you that if you really, really want to, you know, determine whether the Convention of States is the right way, they have to have a tangible solution. Term limits doesn't do it. A balanced budget amendment doesn't do it. As a matter of fact, all of these types of amendments validate all of the unconstitutional crap that they're doing. Anybody that thinks, oh, we're going to get rid of the 16th Amendment, no way. You will not get rid of the 16th Amendment. The only way you can get rid of the 16th Amendment, because you need 38 states to do it. But you can actually remove the 16th Amendment by removing the need for them to be able to spend, the ability to spend, and the need to have to tax for that spending. The only reason that they went down that path, and if you go do the research, Wilson asked the nation, because they had to spend all of this money for this, you know, this national, world, global crisis, that we had to, you know, start helping all of these people. We had to get involved militarily, and we just don't have the money. So give us this amendment so we can do this for a short period of time. And it never went away. Just like what's going on today, folks. And these state legislators are so bamboozled with this mumbo jumbo that they're actually moving forward with the one thing that I believe we need an amendment for. We need an amendment to remove the convention option. I think everybody would agree that there's never been a time in this republic that we would want to actually give a body of delegates the ability to open up the Constitution again. We're far better using the amendment process and using the political process. The problem is that we're not holding the federal government accountable to the compact. That is the big problem, and we've never been able to do that. And this is something that Madison and Jefferson could never articulate. It's about, and I hate to say educating, it's about getting leaders to educate. You know, I actually had some state legislators that, you know, and I've here's an interesting contrast. I had a body of state legislators all come together, and in one particular state, I'm just going to use one particular state as an example, I have these folks that are really, really strong in enforcing the Constitution. And they had one champion who was a really good friend with the John Birch Society. And they, you know, started getting involved. And as soon as I was basically outed by the John Birchers by this deception and lie that I'm actually a path for a convention of states. This person actually knew this, but this person has actually walked away and is going down the John Birch path of doing nothing. And when I say the John Birch path, I'm talking about the headquarters. I'm not talking about the good John Birchers that actually recognize that we have to do something. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll get into the obligatories.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me finish up with this little example. So we had a bunch of, I'll just say, a body of liberty-minded legislators who were recognizing, wow, this huge importance of interposition and getting the states moving in that direction. And because the loudest or the squeaky wheel in the group had been influenced by John, and I don't mean a good John Birch, this is a John Birch leader that actually said, hey, you know, I don't like the guy. I don't know what he said, but all of a sudden, you know, they've kind of dropped away. Do I have a problem? Yeah, I do, I guess. But the bottom line is those who are willing to unify on the Constitution and willing to actually have an honest and open dialogue. But see, the reality is, you know, it's always the little guy that claims to have this high ground. Okay, well, make an academic high ground to me. And if you've got an academic high ground on the Convention of States, because it was clearly delineated in the ratification debates that there is only four reasons for a Convention of States and or amending an Article 5, let's say Article 5 process. The first is to grant the federal government a new role, responsibility, or power. The second is to take away a new or a existing role, responsibility, or power from the federal government. So give or take. The third is to fix a deficiency, like a real problem, like the runaway slaves. You have to, you know, turn over runaway slaves when you realize that it violates the fundamental principles of the laws of nature, nature's God. Okay, so those are the three reasons why there's a legitimate need for a amendment. The only other reason why you would go through the Article 5 process is to actually open up the Constitution for full change, rewrite, what have you. Anybody that tells you that the Convention of States actually is trying to fix overreach of the federal government, and you go to the Convention of States page, you'll find that they're not actually championing specific amendments. They want to put every topic on the table. What that tells you, folks, is they're looking at option four. Everything is on the table, and it's a wholesale change. I am telling you, even though these men may not say that that's their intent, they actually have a more maniacal intent, and it's a very self-serving intent. Because what these men are trying to do is they're trying to create a fourth branch of government. Because now they have this delegation and they want a, you know, an open-ended convention. So the big question that nobody can answer, and I'll tell you what the answer is, who pays for the Convention of States? The federal government can't pay for it because they're not requesting it. It's requested by the states. So the states that attend have to pay. So what may end up happening is as soon as the states realize that they have to flip the bill, they'll probably go, well, we're not really going to do this then because we can't afford it. Or those ardent ones that say, oh, we got to do this and we're going to spend the money, they won't be able to continue to perpetuate it. But the intent of this failure, because what they're going to end up doing is they're going to go down the exact path that I think the John Birch Society is talking about, where they're just going to continually try to open and open and open. And I believe the rhinos and the progressives are going to send delegates that are actually going to create bad constitutional amendments. The biggest danger isn't that they're going to actually get away with getting rid of the Constitution and shredding it to pieces by writing a new one. The biggest, because you won't get that many states to do that. You may get, let's say, five really progressive states that buy into a perverted, new, rewritten Constitution. California, New York, and what have you. There may be about four or five states that will buy off on that, but that will completely dissolve the Union. And it won't take Washington, D.C. with it, unfortunately, because that's in Virginia. The problem is because the states still have to ratify it, and that's a good position that the Convention of State folks have. But my friends, what is the number one problem is time. As I started off, and I've changed, you know, welcome back to It's Now or Never, I am trying to let you understand that time is very finite. We only have so much. And going down the path, there's no scenario you can crunch with a computer. There is zero scenarios that will actually end in a good spending of resources, such as time, money, and people throwing at a convention of states. It will not solve any problems. It can't. It cannot force the federal government into compliance. That is the problem. That's what they claim is the problem. It can't do it. Period. So why are we having this conversation? Why is a lobbyist organization that is not a part of the representation? I cannot believe that in Wisconsin and in Nebraska, that the people of those states, the majority of the people, or even an inkling of the people in those states, say we want a convention. In other words, who are these representatives listening to and following? It's not their constituents. So, in other words, they're not functioning as a representative government. They're actually, and this proves to you how susceptible these state legislators have been by the influence of money and lobbyists, because here is a lobbyist organization actually pulling the wool over their eyes, saying this is the best, and this is in the best interest of your people, when it's not. It's not in the best interest of the people. Actually dealing with the government overreaches with interposition is in the best interest. As a matter of fact, right now, in the best interest of everybody is removing the Biden administration. When we come down to, let's throw all of the things on a whiteboard. We've got removing the Biden administration through this lawsuit and through this upcoming 2022 campaign. That is a real tangible thing. Would we save America? Yes, we would be able to pull America off of the brink or the precipice that Biden is trying to push us off of. And he's actually getting, and we're getting farther and farther to where they're going to claim that we've got to go to a cashless society. They're going to create the scenario that will actually destroy this hybrid constitutional republic. So that's got to be the number. You know, Franklin Covey talks about things that are urgent and things that are important. It is urgent to fight the alligators. And right now, the alligator that is the number one alligator is the Biden administration and the federal government. Now, does Trump deserve to be back in? I will say we're better off with Trump. He didn't get rid of the deep state. And as a matter of fact, he didn't do anything. He listened to what I consider deep state operatives. But he was better off. His policies were far better off. And I think the way he dealt with China, so forth and so on. No doubt about it. It buys us 2 years to now start having a conversation of who we can have for president that will truly lead us the way we need to be led. And so as we move forward, you know, we put up on the, so we got removing the Biden administration. So the next thing we need to put up on the board is a convention of states or Republican review. I mean, those things really are being sold as the direction and solution. Now, and the other one, let's be honest, I'll give the John Birch Society and the anti-conventionites, you know, their space on the board here too. Do nothing. We're going to just teach our way out of this. You just join the John Birch Society, pay the dues, and we're going to teach our way out of this. Because that's what they've been saying. Oh, nullification. They also talk about nullification. So we can put nullification up on the board as long as they do nothing. And the fact of the matter is, nullification doesn't solve the problem. I'm going to talk about, and forgive me for this, because this is really, you know, coming from passion, from the bowels of my soul, that this is, you know, I had a very good conversation this weekend regarding homeschooling. And there are John. So let me tell you that when you look at Sean Hannity, when you look at Mark Levin, when you look at these guys that are out there, they're basically organ grinders. They're either an organ grinder for their avarice for money and power. In other words, they're simply self-serving. They're not doing anything for the betterment of America. Yeah, they know that there's this huge faction of people that, you know, want to solve the problems, and they give you these books and they make all this money, which is, it's okay. They're making money, but they're not giving you any solutions. What book has really solved your problem? Not one of them. Not one of them has, you know, anybody has held up and said, you know, this is the, you know, further light, knowledge and guidance that we need from the divine hand of providence that will send us in this direction. I'm telling you, Madison already gave us that. Jefferson gave us that. That was in the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. I've extrapolated this. I can't say that I have full credit. I have copyrights to Republic Review in this process. But everybody else abandoned what they were really trying to do, and they bought into the non-solution, which is nullification. So in this conversation, it was about homeschooling. And so it was kind of really more because my focus is, you know, the people that are the influencers, the monkeys on the, because if you look at Obama was a monkey on a string dancing for the progressive globalist agenda. All of these guys on the left are doing that. Black Lives Matter. They're all monkeys on strings, just like on the conservative side. They're monkeys on strings. All you have to do is determine who they're serving. Who is it that they're serving? Are they serving themselves for money? Are they out to make money? Are they entertainers and they're not really a part of the solution? Or is their solution addressing one symptom? Think about it. Charlie Kirk, Mark Levin, all of these people, are their symptoms, are their solutions a symptom?
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so I'm going into the third segment, and I still haven't gotten into the obligatories, but that's because this is such I'm very passionate about this, and this is such an important issue. So as you start looking at everybody out there, is GR doing this for the money? There's no evidence of that because I'm not being paid by any of these sponsors. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you as before we get into natural law and nature's law, you know, some changes I'm going to be making. But it's going to be one of those changes that will actually turn, I think, maybe the conservative entertainment industry upside down. Who knows? I believe in being a revolutionary. And so when you look at who's backing, where's the money going? Are these people, you know, buying mansions and they're doing well because they're selling you books and they're selling you on, you know, you spending your time with them. You invite them into your life every day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast or what have you, like myself. And so are you wasting your time because this person is not postulating one real, I mean, they're hitting the bell, right? They're hitting the target. They're getting bullseyes, but not one of these bullseyes actually kills the monster. The bullseye is the finger or the symptom that they're talking about. Are they addressing and trying to, you know, get you to solve the real problem? And this goes to the conversation. So there is a conservative entertainer that did a worldwide tour, Alex Newman, that was out teaching people that they need to do homeschooling. And so, and he's become a huge advocate for what we call Republic Review, not Republic Review, I'm sorry. I tried to get him. I gave him all the education he needed, all the documentation. He didn't understand it, but now he's become an advocate for nullification, something that is actually even, you know, it seems like it's a simple principle, but it is a very deceptive principle because nullification doesn't solve the problem. And so this is what caused this conversation to move forward. And, you know, I spend some very specific time with a particular person that I'm trying to help, and he helps me. And so in these cases, it helps me create these epiphanies, because over the weekend, I had this epiphany of actually being able to hit the nail right on the head, because homeschooling is individual nullification, right? And how many homeschoolers are out there? It's grown dramatically. What does it take? How much homeschooling does it take to win this battle? Folks, we don't have that time. We don't have. It's not the solution. It can't be the solution. Homeschooling will never dismantle the entire government apparatus that they've been driving forward. It can't do it. It may be the only plausible choice, and I absolutely agree. If you've got a child in the education system today, do what's best for you and your family and homeschool. I'm not anti-homeschool. I am anti-education system, that we must dismantle this thing. It is destroying us, along with the healthcare, the pharmaceutical, the whole, if you want to call it the, remember it was the industrial military complex? Let's call it the industrial medical complex. Remember, that's the words that Eisenhower used to get you to be so focused on this constitutional responsibility that the federal government had. He was a general, too. Was this guy an idiot, or did this guy really know what he was doing, or was he played? Because I think he was an idiot and was played. I think that he actually, you know, was convinced by somebody to say, you need to go out there and warn people about this military-industrial complex. America is just going to get into these perpetual wars. And that became the talking dialogue. He misdirected your focus onto the military and fighting wars. And if you think about it, the intent behind us going to war was trying to make life and liberty better for other people. Not a bad thing, but it was always manipulated, and the government that we see has been using this to, like with Clinton, when he went into Somalia, he wasn't trying to help. He wasn't trying to teach them to fish. He was giving them a fish for a day and making them dependent and making other countries. And this is why, you know, there's this contrast of, do you want to be dependent to the United States or you want to be dependent to China? Well, so China actually was trying to create industrial opportunities, and that's why China is winning at this game, instead of us playing the political, we're going to feed you, but you got to do the, you know, you got to align with us politically, with this new global government. And if you look at what we've been doing through most of these countries, as we created what I thought was a decent relationship founded on decent principles, we now see that the U.S. government is allowing Bill Gates to kill Africans through vaccinations. And there's no wonder why these countries are turning their back on us. Because we're actually telling them that they need to start aborting their children. They need to embrace homosexual marriage. They need to vaccinate their kids. And this is all destroying their culture and their people. So I can see why China, who's not going down the social political path, they're going down the political economic path with communism. And that in itself is a little easier pill to swallow than this repugnant pill of immorality. I'm just amazed that there's other big countries like India that has bought into this globalist, repugnant, this perversion of politics. So as we look at, and as we were talking about this concept of nullification through education, That's what you have to do. But the if you walk away from the problem because you've solved it for yourself, then you have actually not addressed the problem. You've done the best thing for yourself, but the problem still persists, and it exists, and it goes on and on and on. When you know, and you make the decision because all the things that you know just add up, you've got to homeschool, and you do nothing more about dismantling the apparatus that is perverting the rest of the kids, how can you say your hands are... Now, I know many of you have been trying, and you're in the fight, but there's only one battle. There is only one battle that wins this war. And so my advice to you, because you've heard this before and you've heard this before, choose your battles. You have to choose the battle that will win the war. Now, there is the battle right in front of you, but there is a battle that will win the war. And I'm telling you, when we go back to this whiteboard and we look at everything that's in front of us, the number one battle that we need to start talking about is the removal of Biden in 2023. Because I have faith in the people of America. I don't have faith in the federal court system. The fact that the federal court system is playing these shenanigans with a constitutional grassroots organization like We the People, because nobody's talking about this. We need to make this news. You need to make this. And as a matter of fact, as I said on Friday, thank you so much. It's humbling. It is humbling to know that there are so many people out there that are passionate, that actually are stirring up the crap and throwing the crap back at them. I love it. Keep up the good work. Now, maintain a good, I'd say professional decorum, but maintain a good personal, be a representative that would make the framers and your parents proud. Don't use expletives and don't use bad language, but don't surrender. Do not walk away. We have to stand up and we have to say, we're not taking this anymore. There was a movie in the 70s. I'm mad as heck and I'm not going to take this anymore. And it became, so he, you know, everybody loved it because the message resonated with everybody, but he himself became a sellout. And he actually destroyed himself because of himself. I'm telling you, all of these patriots, when I say patriots, it's P-A-Y, pay for money. These money-triots, that's another way of saying it, pay-triots. All of these patriots are out there for one other purpose than themselves. They've got a family to feed. I'm sorry. It's kind of like spirituality. I'm not a friend of any evangelical, or I should say any minister that's making money. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see the ministers and the preachers and all of these people driving around in limousines and, you know, being driven and having these entourages and being the richest people in their neighborhood. Are you kidding me? That was never the intent of what I saw as Christianity based on what we were taught from Christ. Go to the New Testament. Show me how the apostles were the most affluent people. When I say affluent, with money, living in castles. They were actually, it was a layman's church. Everybody worked in the church. Everybody was committed. And you had your own job. That's how America was after the First Awakening. Actually, the First Awakening didn't really change too much other than the fact that we became a tolerant nation towards other factions of Christianity, where we became a melting pot after the late 1600s. The First Awakening created a melting pot of Christianity. The Second Awakening in the early 1800s actually polarized us and sent us in the wrong direction again, because all of a sudden it became about money. And this is when I'll say ministering and becoming a preacher and all of that was about money. It had nothing to do with everybody serving, because people were making a living off of being a full-time preacher, but that didn't exist very much prior to that. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. Set the record straight. Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. All right, folks. So I just want you to understand that I haven't even gotten into the obligatories. And it's just kind of, wow, this is the last segment. We need to start really putting into context. You've heard me say this before. If there is an organization that will not get involved in unifying on enforcing the Constitution, in other words, if somebody can actually academically prove a mechanism other than interposition, that will get the federal government into full compliance, then give me that argument. Give me the argument that convention states would do it. They can't do it. I've already gone through this already today, and I go through it over and over again. They cannot do it. So what is the other mechanism? If you tell me do nothing, like the John Birchers, and we're going to educate our way out of this, that is already proven a failure. They deserve an F for the fact that we're this close to the brink of communism. For an organization that was founded in stopping the growth of communism in America, they deserve an F. So you can see I'm actually attacking both sides of that polar spectrum. They need to move to the middle and actually say, you know what, we actually do have to do something, but we're both going in the wrong direction. And the direction we need to go is actually attacking the federal government and forcing them into compliance to our compact. And I don't mean attacking with weapons. I mean attacking with the Constitution. So we have. If we're going to survive, we need to actually wake up our state legislature, which is what you're doing. And I love it. And you are a part of Reclaiming the Republic. That's Reclaiming the Republic may not even really be a tangible organization because it's really you, the people. You want to get a part of, you want to become a founder of Reclaiming the Republic in your county. The way to do that is not create a Reclaiming the Republic pod or organization. You need to create an unorganized militia for your county, as we've talked about this. And we're going to get into this because we're going to go through this. I want to get into the ratification debates, but we'll probably do that later because this upcoming election is the most important thing. We've got to actually make sure that it becomes dialogue. We need people in the audience for your congressional district to know that they have an opportunity to remove the Biden administration because Congress violated the Constitution by accepting an unconstitutionally formed electoral college. When you say that, everybody's head and ears are going to be tuned to you. And when you say that and say, are you going to set the record right and actually demand that Congress meet in its full body as it did on the 6th of January to declare that the Electoral College was unconstitutionally formed and has been proven such because we've proven this. And as such, Congress must convene and execute the 12th Amendment. If not, then they continue to throw America off of the cliff. And we want people that will represent us. I'm giving you, if you want to run for Congress, David Torres, you want to run for Congress, this is what you have to do. And this is what you have to state. Now, if you're living in a blue area, then, and there's enough people that are against Biden, then good. But if you're living in a Democratic bastion, these people are in absolute denial and you don't have any hope. But we still have to get the message out. You're better off going down in flames, getting that message out, because when everybody makes this the message, everybody else will hear, and all eyes will be tuned in those red districts that will take over Congress to say, you better do this. And that's how we politically pressure them in doing the right thing. I want to prove a point. We can actually use political pressure. You want my vote? I want you to commit to setting the record straight for January 6th. We've already got Congress telling us that we patriots are insurgents. You're insulting our intelligence. And you are pandering like the monkey on the string dancing to the progressive globalist organ. You either get off that rope and you do the right thing, or we're going to vote for the other person. And we'll go another 2 years of Biden's crap with Democrats and replace them. That's what I tell people in CMR's district, the one I live in. We're better off putting a Democrat in there than putting her back in, because she is a Democrat. Just like Liz Cheney, a Democrat. And she goes along with the globalist agenda. Anything that's bad for America, somehow she's on board with it. She's on board with telling us that the radical patriots wanting to have their constitution supported and abided by, telling us that that was a legitimate election, telling us that, you know, these people on January 6th, these were insurgents. We were under attack. Are you kidding me? Grow up and put adult panties on, lady. I'm telling you, folks, we can't take this crap anymore. We have to get the message out. We have to get the dialogue out. And I need you to start attending these town hall meetings. And as a matter of fact, you need to attend as many as you possibly can. Make these next couple of years the best investment that you can make in saving America. I tell you, the things that you got to do, you have to start creating this unconstitutional county. And the way to do that is get involved with the Constitution Party or the Independent American Party. Tell them that you want them to be focused on full compliance of the Constitution. Put away that lofty platform and let's trim that down to we demand full compliance. Trim down the bylaws to say we hold our public servants accountable to the Constitution. If they fail to support the Constitution in any way, they are disqualified and we want them removed. These things are really simple. We can't tolerate compromise anymore. That compromise has put us at this precipice. So I'm really sorry. I didn't get into any of the meat and the agenda. And as I look over my shoulder, I've basically got 4 minutes left. We got to start choosing our battles wisely. We really need to actually choose what we have to do. And I need you to do what's right for yourself. And if that's doing homeschooling, then suck it up and say, hey, GR, I'm doing homeschooling now, so we don't have the bandwidth to do all of these things. Well, that's good on you. but we still need a little bit more time out of you to be involved in the civics. Get your kids out there. If your kids are junior high and high school, give them educational credits by doing civic stuff. Come on. If you got a little family, if you got a decent family, you got a little army there. You got a basketball team. Use that basketball team as a squad. In the Marine Corps, we break down platoons to squads and fire teams. Technically, you have a fire team if you've got, you know, four or five kids. That's a fire team. Use your battles wisely. Pick them and use them. Exploit them. Take advantage and get out there. Anyway, let me just glance, because I'm not even going to get into the obligatories. As we kind of look at what we want to cover, what we want to do, I do want to get into natural law, and actually it's called natural law today, but actually it was the laws of nature and nature's God. That's what they referred to back in their day, but that's not politically correct anymore. So you have to understand, natural law is a politically correct way of saying the laws of nature and nature's God. And so I have a really good article that, you know, I'm going to read the introduction of this article. And it gets, he kind of talks generally about nature's law and the laws of God. Laws of nature and nature's God. I'm sorry, I confused that. And I'm going to take an excerpt of where I talked about this in my book so that you can kind of get, you know, my take on this. And then we're going to put this into context of what would be the laws of nature, nature's God in government today, in civics today, and so forth, so that you can start understanding why I really start foaming at the mouth when government gets involved in removing the consequences of sin or the consequences of bad behavior. Why are they doing this? That violates the laws of nature and nature's God. Government becomes the enabler of sin. Anyway, so I still want to kind of finish some of the feedback that I didn't get a chance to do, because I need you to understand that, you know, there's still time. We have this hope, because I do get people to say, you know, there's apathy everywhere. And that's because we've been duped. We've been duped by the Tea Party. The Tea Party, oh, we're going to take this country back. And it was this great movement away from the Republican Party. Come to find out they were lockstep with the Republicans and the globalists. I mean, they're a little bit more of a conservative faction, but they still vote Republican and they still put in rhinos. They actually created rhinos. People that you would have thought would have been really good conservatives when actually they weren't. They talked a great game, don't they? But as soon as they actually go and they start actually voting on the issues, then you go, oh my gosh, that's not how we expected you to vote. This is one of the reasons why a part of the bylaws in the Constitution Party and or the Independent American Party has to be that the politicians that are wearing their brand has to send back a status report weekly, or at least bi-weekly, what issues they've addressed, who they've talked to. We want to know who you're talking to. Are you talking to lobbyists? We want full transparency. We want to be able to know anybody that's walked in your office. Did you talk to them? And if so, what was your response? Why are you allowing some lobbyists like the Convention of States in your office to talk when they're not from here? If they're not from your representative district, then you have no business dealing with them. You're a Republican. This is a Republican form of government, folks. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.